Log Talk Radio.
Your attention, please. Pay attention, please. Be a witness. We got heroes and heroes risking their lives, bringing truth to the light. They're bringing truth to the light. Your attention, please. Pay attention, please.
I could write a legend to the ledger, and y'all would understand the rules.
I love that intro piece that Black Stax did. Pay attention, please. Pay attention, please. You know, that's one of the things that I talk about probably daily in my life as an artist cheerleader. You know, wanting to find creative ways for people to pay attention to the underground independent artists that I support, I play on my shows, I repost about and all of that. What I'm screaming out to you is, you know, pay attention. Because these artists, at least in my mind, deserve to be recognized, deserve to be paid attention to, deserve to be supportive. So welcome to Flavism. You know, a lot of people in my circle call me Flav, you know, not all the way with Lady Flava or Flava. Is Flav. And so, you know, I thought tonight, why not do a show and just call it Flavism? You know, my dear friend Stephen Jerome Ferguson, he's got a show called a song called Fergieism, you know. And so I thought, you know what, why not do a Flavism? So I created the show. This is the first one I'm doing. What is it going to be about? Oh, is it going to be any different than any of my other shows? Who knows? Who knows? It's going to be open to, you know, all artists, all art forms, all genres. This is where you can come. You know, let's talk. Let's play some music. Let's just commune, okay? And I put it out there, you know, who wanted their music played? Who should I play tonight? And I'm going to start up with my girl. She responded, and I'm going to start it up because, you know what, this piece makes me smile. I'm going to play Sunflower in My Garden by Wabari Jordan.
Hello, pretty yellow flowers of the sun. So nice to see you when I rise. When I look outside my window, I behold Mother Nature's grand design. There's a festival of color blazing in the morning sunshine. But the sight that brings me so much joy and puts a smile on my face is the golden yellow petals of my favorite bloom as it crowns this sacred space.
Sunflowers in my garden follow the path of the sun. Sunflowers in my garden follow the path of the sun.
It's amazing that something so beautiful begins as a simple seed. And the very thing designed to make it grow reflects the thing that it would be. To wake each day and bathe within the solar flower's golden ray. As creation sets before your very eyes, this flower sees the sun along its way.
Sunflowers in my garden follow the path of the sun. Sunflowers in my garden follow the path of the sun.
of the sun. So nice to see you when I rise. Hello, pretty yellow flowers of the sun. So nice to see you when I rise. What a perfect way to begin the day. Beautiful golden sunflowers on display, planted in the garden, born on solar winds, turns itself toward the sun as the day begins. What a perfect way to begin the day. Beautiful golden sunflowers on display, planted in the garden, born on solar winds, turns itself toward the sun as the day begins.
Barry Jordan out of California, Los Angeles, California, with her piece, Sunflower in My Garden. That girl makes me smile. That piece warms my heart. That's what this is all about. You know, this is a new show. This is my first show, Flavism. And, you know, I just really, really want to stress, you know, how important it is to support one another. And Flavor News Radio is all about artists supporting artists. You know, of course we want the fans, of course. You know, but this is about, you know, creating a place and a space for you to be able to be heard. This is where you can get your shine on and know that genuinely I believe I care and I want to support you by creating this platform for you, Flavor News Radio. So feel free, anybody out there, doesn't matter whether you're an artist or you're a fan of the arts, feel free to call in 347-857-1189. Tonight I'm just going to play, of course, a variety of underground independent artists in between conversations in case, you know, I'm hoping somebody calls in, but I'm going to play songs and I'm going to actually start out, of course, with my core family. If you know who I am, you know who really, really supports me, you know who I really, really support, and it's a love, it's a respect, and it's a genuine win-win relationship that I have with these particular artists. So I'm scrolling down my list to come across the next artist that I want to play. Okay, did I just scroll past her? I did just scroll past her. How could I do that? My girl, Monica Monet, her video came out today for her song Gravity. And This was a struggle. This was a struggle to get there, to get this video done. It was so exciting going through the process, you know, and being aware of all the behind the scenes things and, you know, what could have been, what should have been and all of that. But you know what? I think in the end it's so beautiful. So I'm going to play Gravity for you, but I'm going to really, really encourage you to go check out Gravity on YouTube and just check out how beautiful this video is. Gravity by Monica Monet.
Da, but gravity keeps on pulling me down. I won't stop crying, but gravity's forcing my tears to the ground. I wanna be high, but gravity's got me low. I wanna run away from you, but gravity keeps pulling me back in your arms. I wanna be like ego, but gravity's got me acting like a caged bird. Why do I love you? Gravity's got me concerned. Gravity, gravity, pulling me down, pulling me down. Get up, get up, get up. When I first met you, I thought the gravity brought us together. Now the situation's complicated, heartbreaking. Don't want to discuss it any further. Why do love got to hurt? Why it can't be easy? Tell me. Ooh, I just wanna be loved. I'm trying to get up, out, but gravity keeps me down. I'm trying to stop crying, but gravity keeps forcing my tears to the ground.
That was my girl Monica Monet with her signature piece, Gravity. And I guess today is the day that the official video came out for this particular piece, Gravity. Please go check it out on YouTube on Monica Monet, Gravity. Of course, it's all over Facebook right now. Go to my page. You can see it. And just, you know, give them some feedback. You know, we've gotten some constructive feedback. It was good. It was good. Very, very valuable. But, you know, when you step out as an independent artist, you know, and you're doing it on a budget, you know, you try your best. You try your best to put your best foot forward and to make something that's quality, you know. And I think in the end, she did a really, really great job with the team that she worked with to do this particular piece. I want to play a piece by a dear, dear friend of mine. He is a part of a duo group that goes by the name of Sabuda, a musical spoken word team out in Michigan. And I'm going to play their new piece called Heirlooms.
I blame you but I don't hold you responsible. I came to realize we're all dysfunctional. I love you despite all of the stunts you pull. I hope to one day show you I'm wonderful. Yeah.
I reluctantly bid you farewell.
Goodbye.
Though I'd share hell with you, you don't want me there. You stare like I'm ugly. The gong's continuous, our stimulus packages spent. My dents read a future, too pure for you. Through your manure, my flower still grew. My stew is flavored by your stock. My clock begins in your hands. I know I fan the fire, but my desire for change is consuming. Removing stains, my OCD. I'm doing things hopelessly, knowing it's me who pilots my plane. The frame encasing your picture has splinters at its base. Trying to quote me scriptures puts blisters on my face. I forever chase a spirit daydream. The machine seems in need of oil. I feel I'm the foil in your microwave story. Long after it's spoiled, my egg was still boiling. The spades I'm withholding uke your whole deck. My neck is finally off the chopping block. If we can't stop, we can't continue. Try to be mad, but only end up feeling sorry for you.
Angry.
I'm partly removed because I'm used to the absence. Yet clothed by your fashion, my passion runs deep. I make you compete with fantasy scenes, screens from 50s TV shows. I know it's an unfair comparison, but I share in the weight as well. I'm compelled by the spell of invisible forces, courses led by issues, miscues set in tissues, wired into my framework. The same shirt worn by grandmother's past, a task to be shattered before tatters can mend. Our friends are mirrors, clearer view than our own, a commonality shown by flattery and batteries feeding off one another. My mother's my portrait, her forfeits my failures. I'm only a whaler, she is my Marley. If she'd start thinking smartly, she'd part with her job. See, it's hardly her legend when her mother's her Bob.
Hello. Passed down generation, illumine my dream. Illumine, passed down. I blame you, but I don't hold you responsible. I came to realize we're all dysfunctional. I love you, despite all of the stunts you pull. I hope to one day show you I'm wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
All right, that was Sabuda with John D. Green Sr. and spoken word artist, poet, Guy Williams out of the, well, I guess we can say Detroit, Michigan area, an amazing duo, you know, that have come together and creating magic and actually having the opportunity to perform in different places, you know, out there in Michigan, to being featured on different radio shows. And I'm really, you know, I'm really, really proud to say that John D. Green Sr. is a dear, dear friend of mine. So guess what? Perfect, perfect timing, Mr. Green.
Absolutely.
So how are you?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing better. I finally remembered to eat, so I grabbed me a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before I did the show, you know, because I didn't, you know, I didn't schedule anything, so I'm doing things last minute these days, but, you know, got my sandwich in.
Right. Sometimes last minute is good. You know, I'm all about the peanut butter and jelly. I'm a big fan. More peanut butter than jelly for me. Yeah, but it's good. It's always good. I enjoyed hearing that piece. That's quickly becoming one of my favorite live performance pieces.
Okay. So now you do have a live performance that's coming up, correct?
Yeah, actually we're doing a feature in October at the Artist Village, and we're doing a benefit, a cancer benefit, in October as well. And
okay.
If I'm not mistaken, we'll be stepping into Artist Village this Saturday. So,
wow, amazing.
It'll be pretty exciting. Guy and myself, we're trying to give the fans what they want and at the same time remain true to it. So, you know, so many personalities at work, you know. It's fun, fun, fun.
I think when it comes to Sabuda and when it comes to, like, Guy's style, I think that I think it's something that's new, that's being introduced. And I think that you guys are being able to hone in on those lover of arts and words and music that can have an appreciation for something a little bit different and eclectic. That has a message, it's entertaining, it kind of makes you think, you can get into the music and all of that. So I think that the style of what you call musetry,
right.
You know, is something that maybe you've been able to find that group that is craving something different.
Yeah, it's not easy, and I'm noticing lately that there's a lot of people that contact me and say, man, I didn't even know that I like poetry, or I didn't even know that I would like the fusion between the two until I heard, you know, Murdered City or until I heard Mr. Watson. I get regular contacts from people that, you know, I couldn't stand poetry or I couldn't stand, you know, syncopated music or you know, hot step music, which is that live kind of, there's no timing except for the timing of the poet, which is like the olive branches or something. So again, so I heard you. So it's good, you know. We're trying to introduce something that is revolutionary and different, but at the same time familiar. I mean, if you ever heard a poet or a musician, that part is familiar, but the way in which we're trying to do it, it being all original music and not using any type of sound bites or sampling of any kind. It's kind of a different approach. But when we're trying to make it work. In your words, we're trying to make our world work. So, and it's exciting.
I think that you are finding, you know, that audience again. I think that's not necessarily an easy thing to do when it comes to any type of art. You know, to get that audience that really, really pays attention. But it appears, you know, watching from the sidelines that, you know, you and Guy have definitely, you know, been able to step out there in a very short amount of time, you know, and hone in on those people. So that I think that's, you know, I think that's something special and something that you definitely should be very, very proud of. Now, you, my friend, had the opportunity to be featured on Chris O'Neill's show today. So why don't you speak on that for a minute?
That was an amazing experience from top to bottom. It was it was very exciting. There was a lot of love. I experienced quite a bit of love, and I learned quite a bit today about, you know, myself and my style and my music and how it affects people. And, you know, it's when you think you know something, especially about yourself, that's one thing. But when you hear something that you thought about yourself from other people, many other people, in various ways in which people phrase things and people express things, that changes the whole scope of things, and totally. That gives you a greater appreciation and humility, because then you know that you were, you know, where you may have assumed you were on the right track. It's kind of, in a way, it's validation. You know, it makes you know that, okay, I made the right choices by sticking to this, or by changing that, or whatever the case may be. And that show was, it was definitely different. It was very exciting, very well put together. I enjoy Cress O'Neill. She's a good people, you know. Very good
people. She is good people, and I do think that one of the things that she did, John, that you were speaking on, John, is, you know, the fact that you do stay true to yourself and your style, and you don't cave into what others might think or say. You know, because I think it's really easy to get discouraged, you know, to try to figure out, you know, that way of, you know, getting your foot in the door and being able to be recognized for your, you know, God-given talent. And, you know, and to be appreciated. And, you know, I think there is something to be said with, you know, just feeling good and knowing that this is, you know, what, this is who you are, you know,
right.
Your emotions, the John D. Green Sr., you know, whatever hat you're wearing, that's, you know, what's coming through in your flavor. And so I really did appreciate, you know, too, in her, you know, sharing that thought, because I think it's something that we don't always pay attention to, because, you know, all the influences out there that say, you know, maybe you should do something different.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something, you know, it's definitely something to be said for being original. And if you, you know, you think it isn't, if you're contributing something to society as a whole, you take a step back and you try to get the feedback and be ready to accept the good with the bad. And if the good is more than the bad, then, you know, maybe that's something for each individual to consider and act on. It definitely is and was for me, especially today. Today has been a very stellar day. I got a lot of questions and people asking me, when are you going to talk about some of these roles in some of these films? And because you're holding out, let me look. Yeah, I'm holding out, and we're gonna spill it and talk about some of these roles. You know, because they're tired of hearing different rumors about certain characters and things. And to me, that's all funny, because they're roles that you play, and I'm playing roles.
Okay.
And, for people to think that these roles are that convincing, that I'm holding out on them or whatever the case might be, to me is funny, because it's just a job. It's a means to an end. It, you know, gets me out there in the public eye more, and makes people think that if he can pull this off, let's see what his music is like. So, you know, it's going to be a very, I'm doing another show soon, a show that I'm very, very excited about. I'm hyped. I can't wait to get with the host and do this show. You know, the show is like epic. It's huge.
You're silly.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that. You definitely check it out. You know, I'll save you a spot on the carpet, and you know, get your coffee and sit back, like the candles going down.
I need an intro. You know, I need an intro for that leopard carpet show. I need something special for that. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know why. That's my home turf.
So I'm going to kick my shoes off and everything for that one.
So what'd you think of my Flavism name?
Yeah, you know what? I've been quoting your coined phrases all day, from Mr. Smooth on, you know, and earlier on the show with Chris O'Neill, I used a couple of your coined phrases, and it was pretty funny. You know, it's funny that how much you think of people that matter to you when you're doing other things. But
right.
Like I said, the Chris O'Neill show, she allowed me to be me and to express things that are near and dear to me. So it was very appropriate and well-timed to be able to talk about those things, you know. Yeah, I got to talk to Stephen Jerome Ferguson. You know, he's Mr. Smooth, and that's his unofficial title.
I told him,
you know, well, Flavor has made something Googleable about you too, buddy. So it was a fun. I got to talk to The Voice and Mr. Smooth in the same day, so it was exciting. And Kevin High tuned in. That was always awesome.
Right. Right.
So yeah. It was a beautiful thing
though, to see the elements were there, weren't they?
Yeah, everyone showed up, you know, and I didn't request anything personally, but they came, you know, just out of support. It's good. There was a couple of surprise show ups. Melvin Chenault, which you know, you already know I'm a huge fan. That brother, when he breaks it down, he breaks it all the way down. And Westbound, which, again, I'm a gigantic fan of Westbound.
And I don't know who Westbound is. I did see him there, but I don't know who he is.
Check his music out. I mean, I keep it pretty straightforward, but I will deviate at this moment. If you don't do anything else tonight, and he's an indie, he's just like us, but this old boy, he ain't no joke. He did some different guitar work on some Brian O'Neill tracks.
Oh, okay.
But this guy has a sound all his own.
So is he in Michigan also?
No, I believe Westbound is in Germany.
Oh, okay.
He's a good human being on the mic and off the mic, and I think that's why I gravitated towards him. And then to hear his sound was just like, okay. He got a little swagger to him, so you definitely someone to check out. Westbound. His name is Werner Nicky. It looks like it would be spelled Warner, but it's pronounced Werner. It's a German thing. But check him out when you get time. He is an amazingly talented musician.
Right.
Yeah. So he's definitely. So he was on the line, and Melvin, and you know. SJ, it was a lot of people. Ruby Roberts was right there, you know, and it's just awesome because I'm in contact with Ruby Roberts quite regularly. Good to have fans and friends just showing support.
Sure,
it was
definitely.
It was something. You were there, you know.
I was there.
You were there.
So I was like this proud mama sitting in the corner, you know, just like, you know, red cheeks and teary-eyed and saying, look at my boy, look at my boy just shine.
Yeah, it was something. It was awesome, you know. So now we get to take off the tuxedos, and you know, when we sit down for the leopard carpet, I'm talking about shoes off, coffee in hand, fan blowing. I'm gonna have my chili cheese fries real close as this stuff go down, because everyone say they have so many questions, and I got that response so much after the show. Man, we want to ask. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. There's a place where you'll be able to ask and can bring it. Ask your question.
So John D. Green Sr. is stepping onto the leopard carpet with me next Tuesday, the 23rd at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you want to find out more about this amazing man and his amazing talents, because he's not only a singer-songwriter and a musician-composer, but he is an actor, and he's so humble about it. It's like, you know, it's just like, you know, all in a day's work type thing. But, you know, I know, John, there's much more to it than just, it just being a means to an end. Because obviously I think you really, really dig doing this. I think you like getting into the characters, and I think you like the whole concept and the whole layout of what it takes to create a film.
Right, and I do. I wouldn't even try to act like I don't. I think it's an amazing process to watch and to be a part of anything behind the scenes, and then to be able to sit amongst other people and watch a finished product, because you see from my point of view and from the aspect in which I'm looking at things, you see every detail of what's going on behind the scenes,
right.
especially to understand what you're seeing. But to watch the finished product, to me, it's just as amazing as when people that weren't on the film watch the product, the end result. To me, it's
right.
even more something because you're like, you know, I didn't see that. I don't remember. I don't see, remember that color. I mean, when did they make that face? You know, when did that happen? Because you're in
okay.
the moment. So you're not paying attention to everything because you're focused on the moment and being the character and living that the character. So
right.
to me, that's amazing. I sit there in awe every single time. Wow. Wow. They're like, dude, you're in the film. I'm like, wow, yeah, awesome. It's you know, it's funny.
That's
I watch
funny.
My co-stars when they're doing their scenes, even though I've seen it 50 times, each time I sit there, mouth open, eyes huge, because to me it's like watching television in 6D, you know? And I'm right there. I can watch the sweat drip, you know?
Right, right.
It's funny. It's
right.
funny.
Well, definitely anybody who is listening to this show who comes back and checks out the archives, we definitely will be posting it online. Again, my dear, dear friend John D. Green Sr., who's on the line with me right now, will be on the Leopard Carpet on the 23rd of August at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So come out and check out what John has to say. I think he's getting a little comfortable with doing these interviews, huh?
You know, like I said, that's my home turf, so that's going to be close. You know, that's going to be the one where we kind of let it all hang out and just
right.
do what we do. You know, take it whichever way you roll this boat. That's so,
all right.
That's
well, John,
awesome.
I'm going
to
play a piece, but don't hang up. I want you to stay on the line because I'm going to ask you a question after this. But I'm going to play
okay.
a piece by Melvin Chenault, since you brought up his name. And
oh,
this
yeah.
is... This is the piece that Melvin sent me today. It's called Peace and Hair Grease, again by Melvin Chenault. All right, that was Melvin Chenault with his piece called Peace and Hair Grease. I don't know if this was just recorded or if he was just sharing it with me today, but honestly, I'm thinking, John, I'm thinking this is going to be one of my favorites by Melvin.
Oh, yeah. And you remember, we talked about this on a few different shows a few different times. There's a point in a lot of musicians, and I won't say all, I'll just say some, and particularly speaking about Melvin, there's a certain point when you hear a musician playing and you realize that he's went that step. I mean, most of us know it as
right.
the step, the enlightenment step. That's
right.
when you pretty much abandon how cool do I look on stage or you know,
yeah.
am I flexing right or you transcend
right.
all that. And there's a mode
right.
that you hit. And when you hit
right.
it, you could care less. There's nothing but you and your instrument
yeah.
and the world that you're in, which you're playing to. And
yeah.
he reaches that point so often. And to me, it is amazing because to see it, to be there is amazing. But to witness
yeah.
it, it's phenomenal. Because you know what it looks like because you've been there.
Okay.
And very few people reach there. And that's mm-hmm. one. That's an amazing place to reach. And you can hear it. He's one of the people that when I listen to him, I can hear when he's there. It's almost like, you know, there's room in that car for more than him, and you can take that ride if you dare, so to speak.
Right.
You can tell when he's there.
And even, I mean, I've had the opportunity to watch his video, of one of the videos of him playing. And just in that, you know, I mean, it's just him in a room, you know, sitting on a chair playing.
Mm-hmm.
But even in that, I really, really value and just being able to see, you know, his fingers work and everything. But I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's definitely one of those artists that you can just, in a sense, just even listening to him can feel when he is just in a zone and it's not about anybody else, but it's about that right there, what he's
yes.
doing at that moment.
And that's one of the for me to listen to him, that's one of the biggest draws of me being such a loyal fan of Melvin's. When he's there,
right.
and if you were at his show at $100 a ticket, for that one instant, you're in something. You know you're somewhere. There's something happening here. And if you can't see it, you can feel it. And
mm.
it's real. It's happening, and you're there, and you're a part of it. It's like the, you know, you're not in Kansas anymore effect.
Right.
It's very real. And then you're back down to earth, and then, you know, the show continues, and so on and so forth. But you know when you're there. You can hear it. You can feel it. I love it.
Well, you said something that I do want to touch on, but your brother from Kansas is on the phone with us now, so welcome, Stephen.
Yeah, I hear somebody talking bad about Kansas.
No, I just said
so funny.
Not your brother.
Did I just say you're not in Kansas anymore? Well, we're back.
I wish I wasn't.
That's so funny.
How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing good. You know, this is my last minute show. My last minute show, and you know, you kind of inspired it because I named it Flavism.
Flavism.
So, how many other shows can I create?
Huh?
I said, I don't know how many other shows I could create, you know, using flavor, but, you know, yes, this, I decided to call this Flavism.
Okay. Oh, from Fergieism. Oh, okay. I got you. Okay,
oh,
I'm with you now.
I'm down there in Kansas.
I'm okay now.
You okay now? Okay.
I'm okay now, yeah. Yeah. But I want to kind of touch on what you guys were just talking about,
mm-hmm.
about how, you know, sometimes you can see a musician when they get in that zone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a concert at my daughter's school. They had they have all these strings classes. They have first year, second year, third year, all the way up and everything, right? And they put them all in the gym, and each class gets a chance to play a couple of songs, two or three songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they start out with the first year and work their way up to, like, the seventh, eighth, ninth graders, that kind of stuff like that. Her class, it was her last class at middle school, and they played a song. They were the last ones to play. And I was sitting right there in the front row. They were right in front of me. And I watched these little musicians play this song, and they hit it. I mean, they were right dead on and everything. And to see the look on their faces, they only played that one song.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew they hit it.
Right.
You know, because they all, after they finished, they all kind of looked at each other and gave each other that little half smile and everything, you know, on stage trying to be professional. But they know they hit it. And
right.
Everybody in the audience knew they hit it. And it was an amazing thing to see. I mean, when that happens, man, it feels, ooh, man, that feels good. It really feels good.
Oh, yeah, because I don't think there's an age. I don't think there's an age limit to when you hit that moment when it happens. I think it's a musician thing or an artist thing, and when it happens, and it's big, and you're there. Boom, you're there.
So you know what's going to cause me to know that I'm there? You know, that, you know, even though I'm not a musician, you know, or artist, you know, what's going to cause me? Can you even guess what I might say?
Is this something to do with leopard stuff?
We can never.
You wake up in Africa or something, the Serengeti, or you know what?
We can never guess what you're going to say next.
You know?
Am I that predictable?
No, I just.
So my moment is going to be when an artist goes on Chris O'Neill's show and she says, "What color would you be? Oh, that would describe you." And somebody says leopard. That's when I know I will have made it. I've been trying to coach y'all. You know, John went turquoise. I think Stephen went blue. You know, but it's like, okay, y'all aren't listening to me, huh? I've been trying to put the little vibes out there about the, you know, the leopard song or, you know, all of that. And nobody's listening. Nobody's listening. But, you know, when I know that Lady Flava has made it, I'm going to hear somebody say, leopard print, leopard color,
somebody,
leopard something.
You're going to have to go on the press.
Leopard's not really a color.
It's my color. People ask me. It is my color.
Flavism.
Yeah, it's my color. Somehow a crayon is going to be made with little, it's going to be brown with little black spots, and it's going to be called Flavus color. That crayon. I just know it. It's going to happen. Just like my four elements are going to create a song that's going to be called Leopard.
Okay.
Leopard is
like rocks today, ain't you?
I'm trying. It hasn't been working, you know. You know, it's kind of like goes back to, you know, my girl, Mate, when she said, "You know, Flavor, just walk up to a man and say, do you feel me?" You know? Up to y'all and say, okay, leopard, you know, let's think leopard, you know, and I really believe that if you go to bed chanting leopard and you put the little poster notes on the mirrors that say it's leopard, that something leopard is going to be created.
Okay, well, yeah, keep hope alive. I mean, I believe it.
Yeah, you know, you never know. You might see a leopard colored CD cover, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, something.
Yeah,
well,
you never know.
Monica Monet just texted me, and she wanted us to know this was a great conversation. So I don't know if she's talking about, you know, the leopard part. But, Monica, you know, your next CD, after Simply Beautiful, maybe we could, you know, Monica, you know, the next video, girl, we need something leopard in there. Okay,
I don't know. I just like 10 minutes ago, I watched that Gravity video, and I'll tell you what. Yeah, that video was something.
So, Stephen, have you had a chance to see it yet? I put it on your wall.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. I have. And that video was slamming.
It was. I enjoyed the beach scene. Simple and elegant, you know. That was definitely something. Great video.
It was her. It was definitely her.
So just to touch on it a little bit, and hopefully Monica doesn't mind me saying this, you know, I mean, it was a big process to go through this video, a very big process. There were so many other elements that was filmed. It was actually about 7 hours of filming, you know,
correct.
And then cut it all down, you know, was over a month of whatever cutting and editing and this and that. And so there was a lot that did not get put into the video and, you know, or whatever. But I think in the end, you know, I think that it was beautifully done. You know, I think as an artist, you can always say, oh, my God, why didn't this part or why, you know, do something different or whatever. But I think in the end, it was done to where she's really happy. And so I hope that the people, as they experience it, because it, you know, came out today, debuted today, that, you know, they will get it. And I think it definitely is a, you know, in a sense, a good representation of what that song means to her.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to have to cut up this short. And Sabuda, the second half of Sabuda is here, and it is that studio time.
All right.
I like that sheds up. So I will be in touch with you all. And, Stephen, of course, I'll be in touch with you probably in the next few hours. So.
Okay, John. Not a problem, brother.
You guys are going to talk about that Leopard song?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to talk about. Yeah,
I know.
You know what? Yeah, we're going to do a conference call on it, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to be a part of that conference call. Because I think
I'll see if I can remember to send you the invite and everything.
I want to be the fifth element.
I lost it.
The fifth element.
I had it in my phone, but I lost it.
She made her own karate movie, The Fifth Element.
Yeah, because I was calling y'all the four elements, and so now I'm going to add myself into it, and I'm going to be the fifth element.
Add flavor as an element. All right, well, you go on with your bad leopard print itself. And I will catch up with you all. Thank you for having me on.
Tell Guy Williams hello.
Guy Williams, hello.
Okay.
What's happening? All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Have a good night.
Thanks. You too.
All right. So Stephen, the reason why I created this show, well, you know, maybe I get bored with the names of my show, huh? But the reason why I created this particular show was not to have any particular format, but, you know, none of my shows really have a format either. But I really want to press upon the listeners of Flava News Radio that, you know, Flava News Radio is created, you know, to support underground independent artists. This is about artists supporting artists. And I think the beautiful thing that I saw today on Chris's show is it felt like the family came out, you know. I mean, you were there. Kevin was there. Delon was there, you know, to support John being on Chris's show. And I think that was a beautiful thing. And I think that not only do we as people in the public eye, or you as an artist and a producer, you know, we need the support of others. And sometimes just the support of our peers can just help keep us sane in this game. Because, you know, you and I both know, you know, this isn't easy doing this.
No, it's not easy being cheesy. No, it's not. You definitely need some support. And, when I'm looking at anybody that I'm going to be working with, that's kind of like one of the prerequisites, is that, you know, you got to be willing to, you know, we're going to support you, but you got to be there for everybody else too.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's just the way we roll. I mean, we're family, even though a lot of us have not known each other for a long time, everybody has a deep respect for what everybody else does.
Right.
And that makes it a whole lot easier. it's a lot easier when to come out and support somebody that you really deeply respect and that you genuinely like, you know. And,
right, right.
These people are some good people. I mean, John, Kevin, DeLon, Leah, I mean, everybody I'm working with, they're very good people. They're sound people. And it's easy to support good people.
It is. You know, I have to agree with you. And I guess, you know, when I look at my core, you know, of course, it includes, you know, you and John and DeLon and, you know, Kevin and Black Stacks and, you know, Monica Monet and all of that. You're my core. But I guess, you know, like you said, on top of it, it's quality, you know, quality people, not only just artistry, but quality, you know, people. And so it makes it. You know, it does make it easy because, you know, as you know, you're kind of like my sounding board. You help keep me sane behind the scenes and you and John and Jason all and stuff. And, you know, that cancer's been coming out in me a lot lately. And, you know,
yeah,
this isn't necessary. It's not, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy for me to figure this all out and to understand personalities and to be able to grasp and understand, you know, conflict that takes place and this and that. And so I think that, at least for me, you know, I appreciate you guys just keeping me sane, you know, and listening to me and my frustrations and stuff and helping me process it too, because I think that's something that artists need and people in this industry, no matter what role you play in this industry, because it's not easy. I think you do need to find your core people that you can just turn to and say, this was just really jacked up, you know, and this is what I felt like, and what do you think? You know, so, yeah, I...
None of us can do it alone, and especially when you're dealing with any kind of business venture, especially with artists, things can get a little that line between business and personal can be real thin sometimes. And
right,
but the people that have been around, they already know that, and you know, there's going to be times when somebody steps over the line either accidentally or on purpose.
Right.
And you just have to, you know, take it for what it is. And like my mother used to always tell me, say, you know, consider the source, you know. Consider
right.
Where the problem is
right.
actually coming from.
Right.
And that'll help you out a whole lot. But
I think that I try hard to discern and kind of figure out relationships and people, but you know, I miss it. I miss it, you know, sometimes because I see what I feel is the goodness in somebody, you know, or I see something positive. And so when I experience something that's kind of negative, it throws me off, you know, it throws me off balance and stuff. And so yeah, this is interesting. So, you know, I create these shows, you know, Stephen, to play, of course, underground independent artists. I'm really, really hoping to be able to draw in some other artists too, such as authors and painters and videographers or chefs, you know, other artists out there besides, you know, the audio, the music, and the poetry talents, because you know, literature is how I got started as Lady Flava. And as time goes by, I really understand now, years after the fact of being a book reviewer, how important words are to me, or how important it is for the art to grab me and grab my emotions and stuff. And so I'd love to just get a variety of artists to call into these shows sometimes, just to see, okay, do you think the same? You know, is there something, that's similar that you might feel, you know, as an artist, even though you may not be of the same art form or same genre. And I would imagine there's got to be a lot of similarities, you know, no matter what your art form is, frustrations and triumphs.
Oh, yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned the thing about the authors, because writing a book is not as easy as it looks.
Right.
You know, it's a whole lot of things that, you have to develop characters. You know, you have to make these characters believable. You have to give them actual human traits, you know, things that they like and don't like.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're building people and building entire worlds and everything from the ground up. And a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I could write a book. It's not as easy as it looks.
No, it's not as easy, especially if you want to write something that's good and you want to write something that the reader is just going to be so drawn into that they don't want to put the book down. And there is a special talent to be able to create visuals and audios, and in a sense with just words and written words, because you know, in the years that I was really, really into just book reviewing, I mean, there were some talents that just drew me in, and my kids would say, who are you talking to or who are you laughing at? And it's from me strictly reading a book, you know. And so when somebody can draw you in and be able to create that, you know, I think that's something that's just really, really a gift, you know, when it comes to writing a book. And Stephen unfortunately dropped off the line, but I was really excited the other day when I was posting about Stephen Jerome Ferguson, and he's one of my very favorite jazz artists that, many times I play Stephen's music when I just need to chill, you know, or when I need to calm myself down or something. There's something about Stephen's music that just, you know, brings me peace. And Stephen, your line's back open again. But it brings me peace to be able to listen, you know, to your music and all. And so I was really excited when I posted about that. And then that I had the opportunity to connect you with Barbara Grosvenor, because she's one of my favorite authors. And I have read her two books, and I've reviewed both of them. And so I thought, you know what, Stephen's music is like the perfect kind of music to sit down and write to. I just, you know, and I thought, I never thought about that before. Like, what kind of space does a writer go into? You know, what is it do they need to really sit down and be able to type on the computer or write in their, you know, binder, you know, words? And I thought, I was so excited when you and Barbara connected.
Yeah, she is a sweetheart. Yes, she is.
You know, so I think the different artistries can, you know, also overlap in a sense too. You know, because just like with TC turning his book into an audio blog, and so what every week he uses an amazing spoken word artist out here by the name of Elijah Mewed, or also 60th the Messenger, to be the voice of his book. And so when you listen to Elijah perform the words of this story, it just takes the book to a whole new level. But then you add a little bit of John D. Green Sr. in the background of this story, and Elijah, performing the words and all, and then it takes it to another level. So I think I'm excited about, you know, like artists connecting in this way, and you just never know what the future could bring as far as collaborating the different art forms together and creating something much bigger.
Oh, exactly. Because I know music is, with what me, John, DeLon, all of us, you know, Brian, all these guys do. Music can be a part of almost anything that you can think of. I mean, anything from a fashion show to a martial arts exhibition.
Mm-hmm.
Just about everything you can possibly do, you can do with some background music added to it to
sure.
kind of, you know, bring out more of the emotion in it. I mean, television shows and movies have used music so much that we don't even hardly think about it anymore. But
right.
If you think about the average TV show or movie that you see now, just think about trying to watch it with no background music to it.
Right. Right, because that music helped create the scene or whatever. Like,
exactly.
It could be
yeah.
something quiet, then it gets loud, and all of a sudden, you know, the woman's screaming or whatever, you know. And so, yeah, I agree that I think that a lot of times people don't realize how, you know, music is used in, you know, what we see on TV and in, you know, videos that talk about things, not just music videos, to the fact of, you know, movies and how it creates, you know, what's going to happen next or the suspense or the mm-hmm. love or whatever, you know. And so,
mm-hmm.
I'm excited anytime when somebody pays attention to what I post, you know, but when I see a connection being made, I think that just makes me even, you know, happier to see something like that happen. So, you know, that's what I just really strive for. I not intentionally strive for, but, you know, that's when I know when I do the shows and when I post something or I repost something and I see somebody new, you know, pay attention or somebody, the numbers grow on the radio show or I see a new country is starting to listen to the radio shows or whatever, you know, that type of stuff just really makes it all worthwhile for me to do, you know, what it is that I do. And, you know, I just really do want to, you know, encourage the other art forms, you know, to join in on these dialogues. You know, they are definitely not exempt from, you know, not being a part of this. But it just, you know, I guess when you do a radio show, it's just automatic, you know, you're going to play something that's audio. And, of course, that's the easy thing to do. But one of the things that I do want to encourage authors and poets to do, spoken word artists are getting more and more into, to creating audios. And there's some, you know, somebody like Stephen, you know, you helping to work with some of the spoken word artists to create that whole package of really presenting their words, you know, in a way that people can really, really enjoy and want to listen to over and over. You know, I went to that poetry jazz show, a couple weeks ago, and, you know, I went up to some of the artists that performed. I'm like, do you have anything in audio form? And they don't, you know, and I'm like, okay, right. You might think about it. There's some easy ways of getting it done. You know, you might think about this because I would love to play you on my shows. You're amazing. You know, but
the good thing about it is that a lot of the programs and things that they would need, like on a regular computer now,
mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the stuff that they will need to make an MP3 or a WAV file or even a CD already comes with the computers now.
Right.
The stuff is already preloaded, so there's really no excuse for them not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to sit down and do it. I'm glad you mentioned that because a young lady who I'm working with now, she did a spoken word piece to the song I did, Sweet 1016.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent it to me today. And I was actually working on it before I called in. And her name is Leah Henderson, and that flavor is a good piece.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Leah.
It's a good piece.
There could be a chance that Leah's listening. She's been clicking the like button on this particular show right now, so I'm not sure if she's listening, but I cannot wait to hear it, you know, because I've heard you talk about her. She's out here, you know, where I am, so I hope that I get to meet her sometime. And, you know, and again, I think it's so amazing to get connected with somebody in my own hometown through somebody who's out in Kansas. It's so, you know. That's just.
I'm going to hook her up with Kevin as well, because I think some of her pieces will go very well with some of his acoustic guitar playing. When she sent me this piece, I listened to it and I said, "Oh my goodness."
That's cool.
It really was. And I'll probably have it done by this weekend.
Well, Leah, if you are listening, I don't know if you might be the person that's listening on the phone or if you're listening in the archives, because I'm getting text messages from people listening to the show, so I'm really excited about that. You know, Leah, I just want you to know that I'm very jealous of you, my friend, because, you know, I think that deep down inside, I really want to be a leopard print spoken word artist, and I just don't have the skills. So I'm jealous.
You do. Who said you don't have the skills?
I don't have the skills.
Who told you that?
Me. I'm the expert, hey, Stephen.
You told you that, didn't you? The things we tell ourselves sometimes. We could be. You ever heard the term our own worst enemy?
Okay.
I've heard you. Recite some of your pieces, okay? You do have the skills to do it. That's no doubt about that, Lady. You've got the skills to do it. And I'd be more than happy to put some music behind some of your stuff if you want to.
Yeah, it was like me sitting there that night trying to, like, do my coffee piece to Solara. I was like, okay, I don't know. I just, you know, I guess to me that's, you know, I was telling my friend Rogers, you know, sometimes you get around spoken word artists or artists, and then all of a sudden you start thinking you could create, right? So that's when you see little spurts like that come out of me, and I think, oh, I can do this like them. But I think that definitely I have to, you know, leave that to the experts or whatever, because, you know, I'm just, that's just not my thing. So, Leah, I cannot wait to hear what you've created. And, you know, I'm sure it's going to be absolutely, absolutely amazing. So, you know, So, Stephen, are you not liking me or something? Are you just keep hanging up on me?
You know what? I don't know what it is. I have no idea what it is, to be honest with you.
Oh, do you think it's Blog Talk? I mean, it could be.
It could be. It could just be my carrier. I don't know.
You know, I have really bad reception on my cell phone where I live.
I'm the same way,
And so it's really sad because, you know, like I think I had told you, I never thought about when I was looking for a place to ask how good the cell phone reception is. You know, you don't think about stuff like that. I definitely learned my lesson with that. Okay, so we'll forgive you if you drop off the line. But, you know, anyway, Stephen, I think that, you know, you get around creative people sometimes, and even though I wave my leopard pom-poms and I'm that artist cheerleader from time to time, I think that you know, it just kind of says, oh, you know, I can try to do that. So, you know, you'll see me from time to time, I guess, try it, you know, or whatever. But,
Do I have to come out there?
I'm not commenting.
Okay. I've listened to you when you had those open mics.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the talent to do it. I mean, you've got some good work there.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Don't start crying on me.
Don't
told you, boy, you go in the kitchen and make a sandwich and start crying.
I know it. I don't, you know what, I think, okay, Stephen, I think it's the menopause. Can we just blame it on the menopause? You know, I'm old.
I ain't going there.
Sometimes I think I'm going to just post out the description to people of what menopause is, so y'all can just know what it is that I go through, because I'm really not a sane person. I try very hard to be sane, but I'm just really not sane. So I think that's a piece I should write. Embrace those going through menopause, because, yeah, I think y'all, yeah. Okay. I mean, leopard print,
okay.
Menopause. Okay. That's my next one. I went from appreciating artists to writing about drinking coffee, and I think I'm going to write about menopause. And I think you should create a piece just to go behind my menopause, because I'll record that one. No, I'm just kidding.
So okay. I'll find me a couple of wild dogs to run up and down on the keyboard, so, because that's about what it's going
to be. Be nice to me. Be nice to me, because, you know, I might cry.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But, so, you know, to kind of, you know, get back to, you know, this Flavaism thing. So, you know, when I built my coffee shop, Flava Coffee House, on my sign, which I hope, you know, I have this beautiful sign, Stephen, that was custom made for me. It's beautiful. I mean, the sign maker did a great job doing exactly what it is that I wanted. But it says, and the flavor is a taste, a style, a feeling. And so, you know, when I built Flava Coffee House, it was all about, you know, creating a space for all people to come, to feel welcome, to feel, you know, creative and appreciated and safe, and that, you know, everybody has their own style. And I know John talked about that today, you know, and with Chris, you know, staying true to his own style as an artist, and despite the fact of what certain people might think and feel, I think that we all have our own style of how we create or how we express. Like me, you know, with the leopard print, that is such my thing. Anybody that knows me, experiences me, I think they learn pretty quickly leopard print is my thing. You know, it's just like with, you know, your website and how you stayed with the beautiful tones of the brown blending into, you know, the black, and, you know, just kind of staying with that same tone. It really stands out that that's kind of part of your flavor, along with your style of music and the way that you talk and express yourself, you know. So I just really want people to just, you know, embrace that. It's something that I'm learning, you know, to do my own self, and just embracing this is how I am, this is what I do, this is how I think, you know, and, you know, really accepting the fact, you know, of why I put so much time and energy into, you know, being Lady Flava, you know, because sometimes I have to sit back and I say, oh my God, Susan, why are you doing this to yourself? Because this could just, like, drive you crazy, you know, but
yeah,
it's
easy.
You know, but it's something that
I love it.
I do. I love it. I mean, it's just like, you know, I wanted to take a break from doing the radio shows, you know, and stuff, and try to get some other things taken care of. Hopefully I'll have that, the program thing possibly taken care of tomorrow, because Cedric just sent me a message about tomorrow. But, you know, I have some great people around me, and I will share this with, you know, you and those listening tonight. I have some great people around me that challenge me and to make me really think about who I am and what I'm doing and the way that I'm going about it, and how much am I getting in my own way of moving forward. And I had one of those conversations today. And I cried, because you know me, Stephen, I cry easily. It took me out of my zone, but that was okay. And, you know, sometimes I think that I do make excuses for why certain things don't get done. And, you know, a producer friend of mine, you know, I was talking to him again about this program, these programs I need to do the other radio shows, and how I can't figure out how to download them. I can't figure out how to use them and this and that. And then I went into Adobe Audition again today trying to figure out how to upload an MP3. I couldn't figure that out. I went into the help section. I couldn't figure that out. I went to YouTube, Stephen. I couldn't find a YouTube that showed me how to upload a MP3 to Adobe Audition, you know, and stuff. But, you know, this friend of mine said, okay, Susan, why haven't you gotten it figured out by now? Is it because you're afraid of something? Is there something that's fearful for you? And it was, you know, there's something that's fearful for me when it comes to technology. And because I don't understand it, I do learn better when somebody shows me. I don't learn well when reading a manual. And, you know, and so I became frustrated, you know, really thinking about that and that, you know, here it is a month and a half later, and I still don't have that resolved, you know, for myself and for the radio stations. And so, you know, I'm really lucky. The radio station's being very patient with me, and they really want me, you know, to come on there, and I'm really wanting to do it because this will give artists like Stephen Jerome Ferguson and other artists that I support and, you know, three other stations and listenerships to be able to be heard on. And so, you know, I went into this whole thing about, you know, my laptop died and, you know, this is my desktop and it's about to die and, you know, I'm scared. I don't want to hit something wrong if I try to upload it and I screw it up and, you know, and this whole thing. And I have this fear that, okay, this is what I need to do. These tools around me I need to make my world work, and I don't want to screw up what it is that I have right now. And so I really thought about, like, am I getting in my own way because of my own fear, you know, behind stuff to stop me from moving, you know, forward. And, you know, so I don't know. You know, it's just
why are you afraid of it?
I think it's because it's something so foreign to me. It's not something that's second nature, you know. And, you know, like with Blog Talk Radio, I know how to do everything on here. You know, even when there's some errors and stuff, you know, in the way.
This is your psychoanalyzing going on right now. Did you always know how to use everything on Blog Talk Radio?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Okay.
And then when they
were you afraid of learning it?
For some reason, I think in the beginning there was some anxiety about it, but as I came to learn it, and I had a few people, you know, like Dwayne from Soul City Radio that helped walk me through some of it. It's very easy. It's very simple. So, you know, it's like, okay, am I using that excuse, you know, of me being scared to just click on a download and see what happens? See, I know how to.
That's what you have to do.
Right.
Sometimes
okay.
You just have to do it and, you know, and just see what happens.
So you know what happened today? As I'm on the phone, you know, with Roger, I clicked on the link. I read it to him what it said. I said, I don't really understand that first statement. He explained to me what it was saying. I clicked on the link of what I needed to download. Do you know that link said, I don't know if you've looked at it, Stephen, but it said, not compatible with Windows or something. I was like, wow, I've been sitting on this for a month and a half, and I really don't have the program. Because there wasn't anything there for me to click and download, because it said this file wasn't compatible with Windows.
When I did it, I noticed that it was not the full version of the program either. It was like a demo version of the program.
Okay. So I'm like, okay, I've been sitting on this for a month and a half and didn't even know that I didn't really have what I needed in this thing, you know, but that was my fear that I didn't even go into the folder to click on anything to see what it even was, you know. And so then it makes me wonder, like, am I the only one out here, you know, in this arena that is fearful of certain things that, you know, that, you know, where we're getting in the way of ourselves and being able to move forward. Like for me, of course, it's my lack of understanding around technology. You know, and so
that's not necessarily a fear. You just know you know how you learn, because you just said it. So you learn better when somebody sits down and actually shows you what to do, what buttons to hit, what to do this, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm like that on a lot of things, but that's no reason to fear it.
Right.
Just because. I mean, that's just the way you are. That's the way you learn.
Right.
Okay. I was talking about this on Facebook a few days ago about how fear of things can really mess up your life. And, I mean, if you think about it, fear is something that we all learn how to do. We learn how to fear things.
Right.
I forgot who I was talking to, but I gave them an example. When my youngest daughter, she was like maybe, I don't know, 6, 8 months old, I would take her outside, and that girl played with every bug she could get her hands on. She loved bugs. I mean, she'd be sitting there in the yard and caterpillars would be crawling all over her hands and everything, and she'd just be giggling and laughing, right? And one day, she was sitting in the living room on the floor playing with something, I don't know, and her mother was sitting at her desk at her computer, and a spider crawled across the desk. And it caught her by surprise, and of course, and she jumped up and screamed, "Oh, a spider!" From that day, my daughter wouldn't go near a bug after that.
Okay.
Because she learned right there that, oh, I'm supposed to be afraid of bugs.
Right, right.
Yeah. We're not born with any fear at all. We learn all of it. It's taught to us one way, form, or fashion. And we just have to unlearn it. That's all.
And I think that my fear around this technology thing is that, you know, for instance, with my laptop, you know, I would take it to work with me. I mean, I'd sleep with it. I mean, I did put that poor laptop through hell in a sense. You know, but it was an amazing tool for me to have, what, the 3 years I had it or whatever. And then, you know, I had to get two or three new hard drives for it. I had to send it in one time to Dell. I've had to get, like, two batteries for it. I've had to get, you know, a new electrical plug or whatever you call it, you know, for it and stuff like that. So when it died, it got that blue screen and I couldn't do anything else. Of course, it was after my warranty, you know, ran out with Dell, and so I couldn't call them and get the technical support for free. And, you know, living, you know, with a very, you know, lack of income, and honestly, to be able to support what it is that I need in my technical world, that I think that my fear is that it's going to crash. If I do something wrong, it's going to crash.
It'll mess up your whole system, yeah.
And then I won't have the tools that I need to be Lady Flava, because everything that I do, you know, it evolves around this computer and internet. And so I'm like, okay, I can't screw it up. I'd rather somebody else screw it up, because if they know how to do it, maybe they'll know how to fix it. Me, I don't know how to do it, and I don't know how to fix it. And so, you know, it's just...
Right.
So you know,
that's the root of the fear right there.
So,
once you understand the root of it, then you know how to deal with it. There's ways of getting around that. I mean... Um, I'll think about one in a minute. So,
right. I mean,
I'm
but
sure
like,
there ways
I think
of
like with you as a musician and with the equipment that you have in your recording studio.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, no.
I mean,
I know.
Like you were saying that some of your equipment, it's taken you a few years to learn how to use, and but
yes.
I don't know if like for you, Stephen, if you are just okay with like dinking around on the equipment and going to YouTube and figuring it out and reading manuals and stuff like that and figuring it out and then hearing the sounds and you're like, huh, I like that or I don't like this. Let me try that.
That's pretty much how I did it, yeah.
You know, and stuff. And,
and I've run into that same situation that you've run into. I mean, I've sat there, uploaded new programs and everything to help me out, and then once the program gets uploaded, you hit the button to say okay, start the program, and all of a sudden the screen goes this pretty color blue. And you sit there and you go, okay, what happened? And you cut the computer off and restart it, and that same screen is up there.
Right.
And it is the most empty feeling that I have. I mean, it's, oh, man, especially after you know you put a lot of work into the stuff that's on the computer that, and yeah, it's a real frustrating feeling to go through that.
Well, and you know, and because these tools are so important to me, I can't afford for them to shut down. Because if they shut down, then how do I do my radio shows? It wouldn't even matter if.
Yeah.
I learned how to do the programs. It you know, if I hit something wrong or whatever, you know, and I can't do it, then it doesn't mean anything. So I don't know. I appreciate you allowing me to share this, and I hope that anybody listening to this show can not only just feel my pain, but just makes me wonder, you know, if there's anybody else out there that, you know, gets in the way of their progression because of, you know, being fearful over something. I would imagine even when it comes to artists, it's just like, you know, being fearful in putting your art out there because once you make it public, you know, you're opening the door, you know, to criticism and things.
Oh, my goodness, I'm telling you.
You know.
Yes, you are.
And that's not an easy thing to take, huh?
That was my biggest thing was that John kind of said a little bit about it with his interview with Crush today.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're an artist and you put your heart and soul into your work and then you put it out there for everybody to listen to critique and to talk about it, it's kind of like telling everybody that, okay, at 3:00 tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to be on the corner of 16th and Pennsylvania Avenue, and I'm going to be standing there completely naked as the day I was born, and I want you to come by and
Right. Just
check things out and see if you like it or not. You know, and make any comments you want to make, you know, because you're putting yourself out there for that. And it's not an easy thing to do.
Mm-mm.
There's a lot of very talented people out there that are doing things that right now the only people have seen it or heard it is themselves.
Right.
They're not ready. I mean, you gotta prepare yourself to do that.
And I know that it's not easy, and just even like being in the position that I'm in. I mean, I talk about this a lot, and you know, with you, my friends, and all. And it's like, and I never thought I would be in a position of really, in a sense, critiquing and in some ways passing judgment on artists. You know, I just never thought I would be. But you know, again, I believe this is God's journey for me in what it is that I'm doing. And so it's like, you know, having to step up to, you know, to the task and do it. But, you know, as you know, on Flava News Radio, I'm more lenient of who I play over here. I'm more lenient leaning it of the production of what's played over here. You know, because I do believe that there are talents out there that deserve to be heard, even if they don't have the capabilities of having that polished, you know, perfect product in the end. You know, sometimes I feel like if somebody can recognize an artist's talent, you know, who's listening in the wings, then potentially that person, if they have the capability, may say, hey, you know, let's work together or whatever. I can help you with that. You know, so, but then going over to KLSL, as you know, that station is much different. There's more capabilities. There's, you know, royalties can be paid out to the radio show hosts, to the radio, to the artists, to the fans that listen to the show. So there's much more that goes into being a radio show host over there. You know, also with Soul City Radio and Redding's Radio, you know, to be able to be played on those shows. You know, it's a more polished sound that needs to be heard. And so then, as you know, I become one of those, you know, people that critique the artists or the product. And that's not an easy thing to do either, because, you know, you don't want to bust people's bubbles. You just no. Don't. You know, that's not a good feeling for me. You know, you and I have had this conversation as several of our friends and colleagues. There are some artists who shouldn't be doing it. That's just real. They should not be doing it, especially as far as wanting to make it into a profession. I believe that anybody, such as myself, you know, we should have the freedom of being able to create and share in a safe forum, you know, like when I do the open mics, you know, or whatever. But when it comes to taking it to the level of being a professional artist, I think there are steps you definitely need to be able to take and willing to take, and that it's not necessarily easy, but the production and everything, the whole package, then becomes a big deal.
And a lot of people don't realize that it's like that for anything, though. I mean, there are people out here right now that are running up and down on a basketball court right now, for instance, that, you know, maybe having a good time, and they can play in that arena right there, but, you know, are they good enough to make it to the NBA? No, they're not, because they have it put in. I mean, it takes a lot of time to become a professional at something.
Right.
Anything. It takes a lot of effort. I mean, if you want to be a professional wood carver, I mean, you have to put in hours and hours and hours of practice, and I mean, a professional anything, you have to do it. It has to become a part of your life. And if you're not doing that, you know, if you want to put out some music and put it out on Reverb Nation or MySpace or wherever you want to put it out at and let people hear it, that's fine. But and the internet gives a lot of people that opportunity to be able to do that.
Right.
But, you know, you can hear the difference in somebody that is doing it as a hobby, say, but you could hear the difference between that type of artist and then that artist that has put in the hours and hours and hours of work on it. And you can hear the difference. And, you know, ever since I said that I was going to be producing and all, I've had people contact me that, you know, say they can do this and say they can do that. And I said, well, okay, let me hear you. And you know, you kind of wonder where they got the idea that they could actually, you know, do what they say they can do.
Right.
And, you know, and
right.
So it's being in this business is just like being a professional in any other business. You have to put tons of hours of work into it. You have to eat, sleep, live it.
And I was just thinking something, Stephen, as you were talking about my own self. And As much as I'm very comfortable in being on the air and talking on the air like this, and I'm actually very comfortable in getting on a stage, you know, and on a mic and talking in front of a lot of people. I'm not, you know, fearful of that. I might turn red in the face. I mean, it's not something I do frequently, but I think if I was to do it more frequently, it would, you know, it wouldn't be a thing, but it doesn't bother me. But I have to tell you that maybe there is a bit of fear in me in regards to doing all the radio shows and all of these things, because I feel like it's taken on such a big responsibility, because this is my opportunity to, you know, again, be able to put you before some very different audiences than what I have on Flavor News Radio. And so I want to do it. I want it
right,
to do
yeah.
it the best. You know,
right. I understand that, and there's Flavor nothing wrong with feeling that.
You know, Flavor News Radio, I can mess up on an artist's name and fix it. You know what I mean? They're like, oh, sorry, Stephen, I called you John. You know, whatever.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's kind of like over here. It's just, you know, open and relax. You know, mm-hmm. we could talk on a show. We could play music on a show. You know, you might let me cry because you know I'm going to cry, you know, or whatever. So, but when I go over to KLSL, that's polished. That's just polished
yeah,
all the
yeah.
way. My voice recording needs to be polished. The how I put the music into play, the creations of the advertisements, the drops, whatever it is, that's like a polished thing over there that can be used on,
right.
you know, several other stations that I'm being connected to. And so it's like, it is so important to me that I don't do that half-ass. You know, I
right.
want to do it
yeah.
right. I want to be professional when it comes to those shows for you guys, because I'm the one, in a sense, representing, you know, Stephen Jerome Ferguson and Monica Monet and, you know, Black Stax or, you know, Leah Henderson or whoever it is that I play. I'm, in a sense, you know, creating this forum for you to be heard. And so I want you to be heard in the best light possible.
I understand. And I'm going to say two things to you. And I've said these two things to a lot of different people. One, you will do it because you want to, but it's not going to happen overnight. Okay? You're going
mm-hmm.
to have to get it. You're going to have to play around with it and
yeah.
mess around with it until you find your groove. Once you find your groove, you'll be fine. Okay?
Yeah.
You have to do it the way you want to do it. Don't do it you can look at some of the other radio DJs that you hear, like on regular radio stations or even over there on KSL. What is it, KSLL?
KLSL.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. I always get them letters
yeah.
and stuff.
I do too.
But you can listen to some of them to see how they do theirs, and you can get a general flow of how they do it and everything. But put your own flavor to it.
Yeah.
Do it the way you want to do it. That way you'll feel comfortable with it. Once you feel comfortable with it, then it's on. Then it's on like a pot of neck bones. Then okay.
Right. Oh no.
The second
yeah.
thing I'm gonna tell you.
Right. Okay.
The second thing is, do not be afraid of your own success.
And it's
okay.
funny that you say that, because I think that, I don't know if you and I have this conversation about it, but I think that there
think
is
we
something,
have, yeah.
you know, when
it is
people
so
start
easy
really
to
paying
be afraid.
Attention, you're like,
mm-hmm.
oh my God, they're paying attention, because so then all of a sudden it's like this expectation is on you, and you're like, okay.
But isn't that what you wanted in the first place?
And it that's an interesting question to ask. You know, is it?
Yeah.
You know,
is that what you wanted in the first place? Didn't you want to be noticed? Didn't you want to be listened to?
Right. I mean, obviously, being a radio show host, right? It's like I want people to come and listen to the show, right? Okay.
Right.
The first show, maybe we started out with 100 listeners or whatever, and you know, and this and that. Now we're, we're in August. I think we're at 18,000 listens for this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never thought I'd have 18,000 listens to my radio show. you know.
Right.
But
scary,
I mean,
ain't it?
But it, yeah, it is kind of.
Yeah.
You know, but obvious,
scary, isn't it?
You know, and then when, you know, it's just like we talked about with Cedric reaching out to me, you know, who's a mainstream radio show personality here in Seattle, you know, I was like, really? You're paying attention to me? Like, you want me to join hands with you? And I don't know how many times I said that to Cedric, and I'm like, really? Me? You know, and so, you know, it is, I think there is something that is scary about, you know, the more popular, the more you are recognized and you succeed, and that it kind of ups that expectation, you know, of you. And so, but yeah, once I learn the program, I'll be a monster. I mean, it's just like when I started Flavor News Radio. I started out with one radio show, right? Then shortly after that, I had two. And now I have, I don't know, I've created, you know, what, seven different shows or whatever I can throw
up. You just created a new one tonight, see?
I did, but you know, that was your fault.
Okay, my fault, okay.
I like to blame you for a lot of things, but they're good things.
Oh, well, join the crowd. You better stand in line for that.
But I don't know. I guess when I created Flavism, I think I just really wanted to push it where this is just a show that, hey, it's going to be about whatever happens. Whatever happens. You want to call, promote, you want to kind of complain, you want to play music. Let's talk about Monica Monet's new video. Let's talk about, you know, Black Sex, I Love My Life tour. You know, whatever it is that we talk about, it's some place to come together and have a place to talk. You know, I mean, we could do it on a conference call thing, and I thought about that too. Like, you know, would people want to join in on conversation or whatever on conference call? But, you know, to me, being able to hear real people talk and real conversations on the air, it's like, you know, it's kind of like those books, those audio books. It's kind of like that music, you know, listening to Gravity and like, oh, my God, what is your world is holding you down? You know, Flava, shake that off and get up, you know, to, you know, just sitting back, you know, and the and saying, you know, even if it's like listening to Smooth, you know, or something, and just closing your eyes and taking a deep breath and just, you know, feeling it and just letting go and saying, you know, I'm safe right now in the moment with Smooth. You know, I'm going to tell you something, Stephen. Don't, and you know, I'm not going to cry. I promise I'm not going to cry because I know I talk very highly of you and our core family a lot, you know, but I have to tell you, as being an artist cheerleader and having this wonderful, blessed opportunity to have artists that are people that I support, but some of the artists that I value as being a part of my life and make my life make sense. When I put on, you know, Windows to the Soul or We Are One, or I put on, you know, Monica Monet's Gravity or John's Melodocracy or Black Stacks, I Love My Life or whatever, and sometimes I'm just in this space where it's just me, you guys are with me. You know what I mean? And so that music means much more to me than just listening to a Stephen Jerome Ferguson, you know, Fergieism, you know, or Four Elements or whatever. You know, it's like, Stephen's here. I've never met you in person. You know, we talk on the phone. We connect, you know, frequently, you know, but it's like, it could be 1 o'clock in the morning. You know, my daughter and granddaughter sleep. I could put my headphones in and put on, you know, Windows to the Soul and just lay down and relax. And Stephen's with me, you know, or I could just be in the car and I'm just belting out some Delton Sun, you know, and Delton's right here with me, you know. So yeah. I think for me, it makes it even more special because I don't go pull people's music. I will reach out to them and say, I dig your flavor. You know, would you be interested in letting me play your you know, sound on my radio shows? Or people will find out about me and send me tracks. So I pretty much on a whole have some form of actual connection with every artist that I play. And right. I hope that it can always, in a sense, stay that way, because it makes it special for me to have some form of connection and understanding of that artist. And then, you know, to do the leopard carpet and shows where artists are featured so that, you know, the listeners can get a sense of who you guys are and why you create the way that you create. Because I think when you know a little bit about the artist, you have a better understanding and appreciation for the art.
No doubt. No doubt at all. And that's probably why, in fact, I'm 100% guaranteeing sure right now that is one of the main reasons that I am going to stay an independent artist, is because of that interaction, that real interaction with people.
Yeah.
So a lot of times when you sign with that major record label, it's like everybody that you used to call a friend all of a sudden just becomes a fan.
Right.
And you lose that connection with them.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that everybody that is on my Facebook page or Reverb Nation page, I know them personally, because I don't.
Right.
But I can tell you that I bet you I could tell you every last one of them's first name.
Hmm.
Okay.
Right.
And I mean, every last one of them's first name.
Right.
So, and I thank the internet for that, because the internet has made it possible for artists like myself, John, DeLorme, Black Stash, Black Eyes, all of us, to be able to get our stuff out there with no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're not under pressure from a recording company to say, okay, you got to sit down and you got to write, you got to do a CD now, because you haven't had one in 6 months. You need to write a CD right now and get it out there.
Right, right, right. You know,
that would completely, I mean, just me, the way I do things, that would just completely just turn me off. I'd probably quit and go work on a trash truck after that.
Right.
But being able to interact and I mean, really interact with the people that are listening to your stuff and the people that are helping you promote your stuff.
Right.
Is, you know, that's a major plus in my book.
Right.
And, which is probably one of the reasons why the record labels aren't doing as well as they used to be doing, because people like us are stealing a little bit of their thunder. You may have to change the name. You may have to stop using that term underground artist.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not underground anymore.
Right. So what do you think?
We're out there. We're doing it.
So that's interesting. That's an interesting statement you just made, Stephen, and I like that statement. So what do you suppose, what would you say the best term or description of the artists who are not going major would be?
Because
I always kind of thought about that underground.
Independent artists is good.
Strictly, okay.
Yeah, and underground used to fit. You know,
right.
it really did, because it was kind of like a behind-the-scenes underground movement.
Okay.
But it's too many of us now.
Right, right,
it
right.
It is way too many of us now. And we're being noticed, we're being seen, we're being heard. And, you know, it's like, you know, we're not on the ground anymore. You know, and like I said, even a lot of the major record labels are starting to actually pay attention to this. I mean, things like, you know, iTunes pretty much got it started.
Once iTunes came
up with the concept of being able to actually listen and purchase music online,
Right.
And iTunes doesn't care if you are with Sony Records or if you're with SJF Music.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there's, I mean, you go look at iTunes right now, I bet you there's a million plus artists on there.
Right.
You know, it's got to be. I mean, a whole bunch
right.
of people you never heard of before, but, I mean, you could spend all day scanning iTunes, and I bet you could find 300 or 400 artists a day that you've never heard of.
Well, and that is the beautiful thing about the online things, whether it be Reverb Nation or whether it be iTunes or CD Baby or whatever, you can scan and find artists from around the world that you may have never, ever heard of or would have ever met. That is the definite plus. You know, it's just like with the record stores in your own hometown, you know, your limit even though if you're a mainstream artist, your music's going to probably be all over the globe in a record store or whatever, you know. But if you're an independent artist, you know, your opportunities are definitely less in, you know, being able to get into a record store. And then, you know, you're also limited to who goes into those record stores and buys actual hard copies of CDs. So let me just touch on something right quick. And I mean, God, I could just go on and on tonight, and I appreciate the great conversations, Stephen. But I spent Saturday, you know, working at a youth street fair, which was an absolutely amazing experience for me. But this is my second year doing it, and I plan to do it every year if I can schedule, you know, my work around that. But the gentleman that I do it with, he owns a record store here in Seattle, and we were talking about the fact. It was really interesting to me because I didn't know people were approaching him about me, you know, and having, you know, their music heard on my shows. And he's like, don't even approach Flava unless you know your product's solid, and you come right to her. But the other interesting thing that he was telling me is that he's like, Flav, you'd be so surprised how people are packaging their CDs and bringing them into my store wanting me to sell it. And it's like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Some of that stuff has to really be thought through. Don't stick it into your, you know, your home duplicator and then just put it in a sleeve. And use
no.
Sharpie to write your name on or something. I mean, at least try to get it packaged, you know, and all of that, so that it you know, it is, you know, an actual product somebody would go into the store and buy. And so that was, I never thought about that. Like, what do the record stores go through with, you know, independent artists coming in there and wanting them to sell it? You know, it is all in the presentation, you know, about
yeah.
that. And I think that, you know, artists...
And it has to have certain things on the CD, too, in order for them to sell it. It has to have, like, UPC codes and all kind of
right.
stuff like that. They can't just take a CD and sell it.
Right.
They have to have a way of being able to track their inventory and track their sales and all that.
Right.
So, you know, please don't do that, guys. Ladies,
mm-mm.
please don't.
Right. But so anyway, well, Stephen, we've come to the end of 2 hours on the show. Gosh, this time went by so very, very fast. But, you know,
It's been two hours already?
It has. It's been, like, yeah. I'm just, like, shocked my own self that,
I just got on a roll. Gee,
I know it.
I'm ready to talk now.
Hey, we can stay on the air another hour. It'll let us. We just won't scream live. They'll be able to hear us in the archives. But, you know, I don't know if people, you know, listening to the show values, you know, conversations like this. I do, you know, and I hope that the people listening to the show live, to those that are on the phone, you know, appreciate it. You know, anytime I do a show, unless I just say listening party, that means I'm just going to play music. But anytime I do a show on a whole, it's like, you know, please feel free to call in, you know, and talk if you've got something you want to share. Of course, when it's a jazz show, the focus is on jazz. If it's a hip-hop show, the focus is on hip-hop. You know, so if there's a theme, that's the focus. If it's Flava Coffee House, You know, that's a free-for-all. That's where I really, really encourage any artist of any art form to call and promote, you know, who they are and what they do. I also, you know, when we do the artist roundtable, you know, that's a forum maybe similar to like what we did tonight, you know, Stephen, John, and I, you know, where we can talk on different subjects and this and that. But I just really, really want this to become something very interactive for all artists of all art forms. And, you know that there are people around the world, you know, that feel you, that get you, you know, that may have answers for you, you know, that you may not have. I mean, it's just like in conversations with Stephen, you know, it's like, you know, go to YouTube. There's so much that you can learn on YouTube. And when I did take the time to go to YouTube today, there is so much on there that you can learn just from there to educate yourself on things, you know, and that's and educate yourself. That is so important. If you want to play this game and play it as a professional artist, educate yourself, do the research. Find out who's doing it the right way. Ask questions, you know, and some people will share, others may not, you know, but if you pay attention and you connect with somebody who will share, you definitely will grow in this game of doing what you're doing. And, you know, I'm going to commit myself to really work on getting over my fears, you know, and jumping some of those hurdles that I've been holding myself back from, because I know that I am deemed to do much more than what I'm doing right now, and that God has me on this journey to be supportive to you guys as independent artists, and, you know, and being able to create radio shows, or, you know, Stephen has a blog that he does, or, you know, maybe I'll start a blog, and, you know, or on my website, my newsletters, whatever it is, you know, to help get you guys out there, because that's something I hope, if you don't walk away with nothing else in experiencing me, my intentions are always good. You know, I try to help, and I so believe in the independent artists. You know, I so believe in you guys. There are some amazing, amazing talents out there, and I know that I have not had the opportunity to experience not even half of you guys. And so, you know, I'm blessed with the artists that I do connect with, that I can share with you, that we can share great conversations with. And the one thing I love about this, Stephen, I get to connect with, like, real people, you know, that are really willing to share real stories about what's going on in this industry, in this game, you know. And just like with you, all the years that you've been involved as an artist and becoming a producer and all of that, you know, you being willing to share, you know, your wisdom as an elder in this game, you know, with those coming up, you know, I think these are things that are valuable, you know. And so, you know, hopefully we just keep this going, we keep it growing. And, oh my goodness, Miss Leah Henderson, darling, thank you so much for wanting to do a collaboration with me. We will definitely sit and have coffee and talk about that. But I cannot wait to hear what Stephen's doing with you and being able to share you on my radio show. So, you know what? I'm going to actually stay on the air, Stephen, and play some more music. I know it's late. Late where you are. I don't know if you want to hang on the phone with me, but I think I want to play some music now too, just because, you know, I want to.
Just because you want. That's right.
Yeah. So do you want to stay on the air with me, darling?
I'll hang in there with you for a little while, girl.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to play a piece by Stephen Jerome Ferguson. This is actually the very first piece that I heard by Stephen, probably, what, the end of, gosh, Stephen, it seems like I've known you forever, but it really isn't that long. What is it, the end of last year, huh? Maybe like December?
It's been, something like that, I think, yeah.
Or maybe January of this year. But anyway, this is the very first piece that I ever heard by Stephen Jerome Ferguson, and it's called Smooth.
Oh, Smooth, okay.
Thank you.
So we were just listening to Smooth by Stephen Jerome Ferguson, who graciously has been hanging out on the phone with me tonight during Flavism. And Stephen, you know, it's funny. This song will probably just always be very, very dear to me. It's the first song that I ever played by you on any of my radio shows once I was introduced to you by All Media Artists. But it was, you know, when I sat and I listened to this, you know, at home by myself, it put me to sleep. You know, and I think I talked to you about that on your first feature because it was like, okay, is that like rude to say that an artist's music puts you to sleep? And, you know, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm like, okay, I don't want to offend him. Like, I don't want him to think, oh, my God, I think his music is boring. But I think
I understood what you were saying.
You know, but I think that I'm glad. I guess that right there, I learned something so very new about music. I know you don't necessarily like to be totally defined as a jazz artist. But it's like your style, as we jokingly call you now, with love, Mr. Smooth, you have this style that is so chilled and relaxing. Yet you do have some pieces that are a little bit more feistier, like Spirit Song and things like that, that takes you in a totally different direction of what we're used to from you. And I love that, too, because it takes us out of, at least for me, it takes me out of a zone because, you know, I do define you as Mr. Smooth. But your music is just so chilled and laid back that it was like, then it became defined as that creative medicine, that musical medicine, you know, and that's when Lady Blue fell in love with you. You know, out in Pennsylvania, and she was like, I had a headache, and listening to Stephen took my headache away. You know, and I'm like, that is just like amazing to think of it that direction too, but that just shows the power of music. You know, that just shows the power of art. Like, somebody can put on a Stephen Jerome Ferguson track or CD and just sit back, put their feet up, had a long day at work, and just chill. Maybe have a headache, maybe be a little stressed, and just chill. And I thought that was something amazing to sit and just really think about and comprehend. And so that's amazing. That just taught me something different, that gave me another eye to experience you through. But then we go over to Lady Blue's show, and she's playing Smooth, right, Stephen? And then what happens? Mm-hmm. A spoken word artist calls into her show and wants to do her piece over Smooth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That
was like amazing because, I mean, she didn't miss a beat, you know? It was just like.
No.
You know?
To do it off the cuff like that was just amazing, I thought. I mean, you're right. She didn't miss a beat. She was right with it.
I was sitting there
with my jaw wide open. It was like, yeah.
So what does that even, like, mean to you, you know, to create things that can settle a soul that they can go to sleep, can take a headache away, to then somebody want to create to your sound. I mean, to all of that, I think that's such a big honor.
It is. And to be honest with you, my music is a direct reflection of who I have become. There used to be so much turmoil and drama in my life. I mean, from being in the military and getting out and everything. And I mean, it was, I mean, my life was just full of stuff that was going on. And I think it changed for me when, in fact, I know it changed for me the day that my youngest daughter was born. And I kind of realized what was important. So
go.
I spent
go.
A lot of,
go ahead.
I spent a lot of time just clearing my life of a lot of junk.
Mm-hmm.
And what remained was basically what you just heard. I don't get upset real easy. You know, I think before I speak. I take my time. I try to do things the right way. I've made my peace with God. I've learned how to pray and meditate on things, and it's really, really helped to calm my spirit down, which is what I needed. So the music that you're hearing now is just a reflection of that.
All right.
I try to keep my music as simple as I possibly can. A lot of guys, you know, they put all these, you know, triplets and, you know, that's fine. That's what they want to do, they, you know, knock themselves out. But, and I've tried it, and it just doesn't feel right to me. To me, it just doesn't feel right of what I want to do. I want to keep things mellow and smooth and laid back, because that's who I am now.
Right. You're missing the mood, definitely. It's funny that you said that, Stephen, because I was thinking about that myself, that some of the music that's being created are tracks, technical tracks, I don't know what you call it, beats, whatever, that are created now are almost in a sense too complicated that I think it takes away from possibly just really being able to appreciate and embrace, you know, the flavor of it. You know, and so I remember a day that I said to John, you know, John D. Green Sr., I said, could you send me just you playing the piano without anything else? And he was just like so shocked that I asked him for that. And then I got to, you know, he did. And I got to sit here with my eyes closed and listen to him just playing the piano. I thought, oh, my God, I would love to just sit and listen to John play just the piano. And I think that sometimes, yeah, I think that when you put all the bells and whistles in, it takes away from the foundation of it. So I can definitely appreciate that. Stephen, there's actually a caller on the line, so I'm going to bring them in.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Okay, let's see. Click on there. All right, caller from the 206. I'm thinking I know who this is, but who are you? 206-407, you're on the air with Stephen and Lady Flava. Uh-oh. Are you going to be silent on me?
Fish.
Hello? Okay, I'm going to leave your line open because you were listening the whole show and you just recently raised your hand that you wanted to come on, so your line is open. Hint, hint. Hello? Okay, Stephen, say something smooth to make them answer.
Hello?
I think this is somebody for you anyhow.
Hello?
Oh, okay. All right. So I'm just going to leave 206-407. Your line is open if you want to join in conversation with Stephen and I. And I'm going to just put it out there. I'm thinking this might be Leah. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking maybe. So Anyway, if you want to join us in conversation, you definitely can. I'm going to go ahead and jump into another track. Who should I play? Who should I play, Stephen?
I don't know, because I missed the first part. I don't know who you played in the first part of the show.
Oh, see, now I can hear talking. Can you hear talking, Stephen? Okay.
I can hear talking.
Hint, hint. 206, just jump in at any time. I don't have to play a song. I played Monica Monet. I played Sabuda. And I played Melvin Chenault when you came in, and then Smooth. I did play with Barry Jordan at the opening of the show. So let me, I don't know, who should I play? Who should I play?
That's like asking me, what do I want to eat? I mean, it's like.
I know. I have my music, you know, in sections, you know, by genres. And so sometimes it takes a while to get down to some of the people, you know, just depending on what direction I want to go. Okay, you know what? I don't know if you have ever heard me play this particular artist, but she's one of my favorite. And I've known her online for, oh gosh, since maybe 2007. She's got a beautiful voice. She's a beautiful spoken word artist. This is Lyrical Disciple out of South Carolina. And going to play, I think I'm going to play Good Love.
Okay, sweet.
Good love and good love is what you're giving me. Lord, and I must testify your love. All I need. Good love is what you're giving me. No more pain, I'm here to stay. Just keep on bringing it home to me.
Take me to the mat floor and let me feel your energy. As your fingers run up my spine, it makes my body. Oh, what you do for me, my king, you sacrifice. Let me show you everything you need to me. You satisfy me beyond belief. No one can take me away. Bring it to me, giving you my everything, my everything. Turn the lights down low. My sex is so just my boo.
Good love.
right? That was Lyrical Disciple out of South Carolina. And that particular piece was just her singing, but she is an amazing spoken word artist, too. So, you know, again, 206, your line's open if you want to join us in conversation.
Oh, hi, Lady Faye.
Yes.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Very good. Who is this?
This is Leah.
It is. See? See, you're just trying to hold out on us, huh?
I'm just trying to make us wait.
you just wanted me to beg, huh? Beg. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Your line's open. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
It was nice. Nice music. Nice conversation. I see that you read my post on your wall.
I did.
Yeah.
You never know. You never know. Stephen says you're amazing.
Well,
she is.
No, I say you're amazing. So.
Okay.
We're just giving each other all the love, but I think that you know what you do is, you know, as I said on your wall, is amazing. I mean, I could never, you know, do that. I could never, you know, do the numerous things that you do with, you know, with artists like this. I mean, you're gifted. I mean, that's your calling, you know. So, you know, as far as, you know, I heard you say you don't think you can do spoken word, but I think you can. You know, you had the voice for it. You know, I've been listening to you, and you had the voice for that.
That's what I tried to tell her.
I mean, if anybody would know, Stephen would know.
You know, but it makes me wonder if Stephen would actually tell me if I sucked anyhow. You know, I think.
Oh, you know, I would.
He's very good at pulling my coattail when he thinks that, you know, I'm not reacting the way that I should or whatever. He's good at that, but. I don't, you know, he also knows, Leah, that I am a sensitive cancer woman, you know, menopausal cancer woman. See, that's what I should write about, huh, Stephen? A menopausal cancer level
print woman. I'm staying out of that.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
So, and maybe we'll do that piece over, you know, a spirit song or something. But,
please don't.
Spirit song. Oh my God!
But,
yeah,
no,
you're right. That song is nice.
I just from time to time, Leah, you know, being around creative people, I think it just makes a person think, can I do this? Okay, well, I realize that I can't sing. I really realize that, you know. But, you know, I sometimes listen to like artists and just read, you know. Writers, authors, and stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, that you just have an amazing way of using words. Oh, maybe I could do that too, huh?
You know, earlier you mentioned something about, you know, of Stephen's music about how, you know, how the writer, you were talking about this one writer, how she listens to music and, you know, how it gets her flowing, you know, when mm-hmm. she writes. Yeah, you know, I was telling Stephen that too, you know, his music, you know, because when I write, you know, I put on one of his songs and then you know, the creative juice starts flowing. Mm. You know, I got to create an atmosphere when I write.
Okay.
You know, I can't be around a lot of noise. You know, it's no different than, you know, when you want to relax, you want to just like soak in the bathtub and you got candles and you got Mm-hmm. incense, you know what I'm saying? You got to create that atmosphere. And so his music does that for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so you're right about music creating the atmosphere for a person when they're writing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that it made me wonder, and I'm really hoping, you know, and I appreciate you sharing that, Leah. You know, I'm really hoping that maybe more writers and authors will call in and just so that we can – you know, get to know their style of how they create and what they need, you know, to get those stories going and stuff. And, you know, it makes me wonder, you know, what is needed to create, you know, it's just like Stephen goes into the studio that he's created in his home, and he creates. You know, maybe something comes to him, you know, as he's laying in bed or whatever, and he's like, okay, let me go and create this now or whatever. You know, like with John D. Green Sr., he's always saying, you know, he's always creating in his head. There's just all kinds of pieces floating around in his head, you know, and stuff, you know. So it's interesting to me, you know, because I know what it takes for my role to work, you know, as the artist cheerleader and stuff, and what, you know, what calms my nerves, which I've been having to listen to a lot of Stephen Jerome Ferguson lately, to stay calm, you know, but,
right.
You know, what do I need to make my world work? But I just love the way that art is used in people's lives. And like Stephen was saying earlier, I don't think that we even realize that a lot of times, even like out here in Seattle, right, Leah, the mm-hmm. news stations have music that's playing in between certain things, and especially in the morning time. I notice I don't know if it's Channel 13 News or whatever that they put on, you know, they play music from different artists, you know, during the actual newscast to, you know,
yeah.
soap operas or regular shows that we watch, you know, or, you know, even reality shows to, you know, movies that are created. Music plays a role in creating what they want us to experience out of the visual that we're seeing, you know, to then, you know, like I'm sitting here and I'm looking at a painting that just to the right hand side of me that my dear friend Kua painted down in Dallas, Texas and sent to me, you know, and depending on what my mood is, you know, looking at his painting to then, you know, maybe listening to some musical artist's, you know, piece as I look at that painting, it could take me in a different direction with, you know, with what I'm seeing in the visual and stuff. So I think that art is just absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. You're right about that. You know, and what you do is art too, you know. You know, it is. No, I mean, anybody just can't do it. You know what I mean?
I couldn't do it.
You know, yeah, right. And I couldn't do it either.
So, you know, Leah, I think that, you know, Stephen, I don't know if my show, I want to say my show was the first show Stephen ever came on as a feature.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Stephen?
Unfortunately, no.
Oh, don't tell me. The first time
that Stephen,
that
to you, but
Stephen, the first
but
time
you
Stephen
were,
came on to, yes. I was
yeah, 10. I did a couple of them before I did you.
Oh, don't tell me that. Okay,
yeah.
So when Stephen was on my show for the first time, we'll just redirect how I was going to tell this story. So the first time Stephen came on my show, he was kind of shy. You know, he's very laid back anyhow, you know, but it seemed like he was kind of shy. But after that
right.
first show, I think I've done about 4 shows with Stephen now. Stephen has a lot to say.
Oh yeah, I heard him. Yeah.
So now he wants to be quiet.
Oh, I was just listening.
Oh, you were just listening. Okay.
Yeah, I was just listening.
It was like, how's Flav going to recover after I tell her no, her show wasn't when I came on, huh? All right.
Yes.
Well, I had to practice with some of the, you know.
Okay.
You know, I had to go to the minor leagues before I had to come up to the major.
Yeah. Well, at least I can say we've kept Stephen around for a minute here on Flavor News Radio since his first feature with me.
I see that. That's wonderful, though. You know, I mean, you know, like I when I heard his music, it was. You know, it was just the right flavor, you know, for me to write to, and there, you know, there's I'm friends with a few other artists that's jazz, you know, and
okay.
I listen to their music and I just would never speak to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's sad to say, but I just can't speak to anyone's music.
Okay.
And I won't say who it is, but, you know, I'm just saying, but, you know, but somebody probably can, you know what I mean?
Well, and that's true. And I think that, I think a lot of when it comes to collaborations in that sense, it needs to be, well, you have to feel it. It has to be your style. It has to work with what your flavor is. You know, and I think that you know, definitely, I mean, I would never say names either, but I think that a lot of people can tell who I would actually go out and purchase, you know, if I purchase music or whatever, because it's something that I really love and I appreciate. You know, but there are artists that, yeah, I might play on my radio show, and this is where it's going to get played is on the radio show, you know, you know, and all of that. So, you know, again, I think that this music, there's a style out there for everybody, you know, and, you know, I have, you know, as a radio show host, I've received, you know, criticism on some of the pieces that I've played. I've received, you know, criticism on some of the quality of the tracks that I've played, you know, and stuff. But, you know, when it comes to Flavor News Radio, this, I mean, clearly this isn't a polished look. You know, look at me. I created a show called Flavism today.
See, you're creative, see?
You know, I could have just threw up a Flavor Coffee House today, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but I was sitting here looking at my list of music, and I'm like, huh, Fergieism. Like, I can do that, too. I'm going to do Flavism. So,
yes.
But yeah, what can I say? What's the show going to be called tomorrow? No, I don't know. It's just, it's my mood, huh? My mood.
It's your show.
You know. You know, one minute I say one minute I say, okay, I'm going to take a week or two off of doing radio shows. And what am I doing? Last night I did a two and a half hour hip-hop show.
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh.
Steven said to me earlier today, well, if you do a show, let me know. I said, okay, I'm doing a show, Steven. He's like, when? I said, right now.
Al Garda.
Yeah, I'm kind of into this improv too thing. I noticed that there are some people in my world that like things planned, but, you know, I used to be one of those people that like things planned, but now I'm kind of, you know, I'm into the improv. I'm in a mood. Let me do a show now. I don't care.
It's all like playing anything. Just go for it, you know.
Oh, yeah. You have to.
I think it's
that way.
So, Leah, out of curiosity, what did you think about when I talked about the fact that I have fear issues about, you know, that I'm getting in the way of myself?
I really don't see that with you. I mean, maybe, you know, it's hidden well, but, I mean, what you do, I mean, is possibly could not be no fear. I mean, because you're speaking to people all the time. You know, you do it so well. I mean, you should, you know, it's no different than the Oprah show, you know, sitting in front of crowds of people. I mean, you're just great and amazing at what you do. So I never would have detected, you know, fear, you know.
Steven, she doesn't know me well yet, huh?
Well, you got to get to explaining, Steven.
Leah, let's meet for coffee. I live on Beacon Hill. No.
Yeah, y'all need to get together and talk.
Yeah,
like Washington.
With them girl days.
See, we're not far from each other, see? So she's like, she'll be like, Steven, maybe you shouldn't have connected me with Flava because, you know, she's really kind of got issues.
No. It's okay.
Amazing.
You know, no, I think that you know, I mean, we all, you know, can, that feeling can, you know, touch all of us, and, you know, in certain areas of our lives, you know, but we don't, you know, have to go along with it. I mean, you've been doing this for a while now, so.
Well, and I, you know, and I have been doing radio.
She's just afraid of her computer crashing.
Oh.
That's what she's afraid of.
Yeah, and it is a fear for me because this is what makes my world work. And so when it comes to technical things, Leah, I'm just really scared to, like, try to upload things if I don't understand it, you know, because I'm scared it's going to make my computer just crash and I won't be able to do anything, you know.
Oh, no.
And I'm, you know, I'm broke, so it's not like I can jump out there and go buy a new computer or pay for the Geek Squad to come to my house and fix it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So
mm-hmm.
I'm sitting here like, okay.
Should I touch it or should I?
I've been sitting on this folder of programs for a month and a half for the other radio show and realized once I clicked on it today, I don't have everything in that folder that I need to even upload it, you know? So I'm like, okay, I've been sitting here and I should have known a month and a half ago to go to the person and say, I don't have everything.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't send me a complete file or something. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
but see, that was my fear in doing that.
And you have a very understandable fear, Lady. That's very understandable, considering
mm-hmm.
what you do and how you do it. I mean, the computer is, I mean, without that, you can't get online to do any of your shows, you know, and... Yes, but, you know, that's completely understandable. It really is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
well,
you know, that'd be like if my main keyboard went down, man, I'd just be sitting around looking at a pile of stuff that I can't use, you know. So,
you know, and I appreciate you both, you know, validating me and my fear of that, because, I mean, it is a fear, but I do understand where Roger was coming from this morning when we had this conversation about me getting in the way of myself. That, you know, Stephen, if I had clicked on that folder sooner, you know, I might have realized that it wasn't even all there, that I could have went back,
right.
you know, to Cedric and say, hey, Cedric, it's not all there. Can you help me out or whatever? Mm-hmm. So I believe Cedric's going to be coming over here tomorrow and working with me, which hopefully will resolve that whole issue, period, about that program. You know, and then there is an anxiety about learning it because it's something very different, a different way of doing the radio shows. But I'm excited about it because it's a new way of being able to, you know, showcase you guys, you know, on the radio. And a very polished, clear sound that I'm really excited about doing that. I never thought that I would want to do it that way because I'm into, like, hey, this is Flav, and this is how Flav's going to do it. You know, she's going to create a show called Flavism, and let's do it in 5 minutes. You know, that's kind of my style, is just, like, winging things and just, you know, coming off the cuff and just having conversation and playing music. You know, but over there it's going to be a different direction, and I'm ready for that. But, you know, I think, but even I, you know, Stephen talked about briefly, I think there is a fear of success, and I don't know if you've ever felt that way, Leah, like kind of scared about jumping out there, you know, with your poetry or your singing or creating, you know?
Yeah, well, probably... probably with my fiction book that I'm almost done with.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I started writing in my teens, but, you know, this is my first novel, and I know there's a lot of great writers out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to find your audience. And so...
So are you going to let me read it for review? She's like, yeah, sure. Are you gonna be on hormone pills and be nice to me?
On the pills, yeah.
Yeah, you want somebody menopausal to review your book.
Yeah, that's how I started out being Lady Flava as a professional book reviewer.
Oh wow. Oh, really? That's amazing,
yeah.
Right there. See, I mean, you have all these different talents, you know, and gifts, you know. See,
she's
got to know.
Talented, yeah.
So, did you notice, Stephen? She didn't say, "Yeah, slave, I want you to read my book for review." She's like, "Huh? Look, can we go on to the next subject?
Let's kind of bypass that, right?
Talk about smooth, Stephen.
Oh my gosh, yes. It's being edited right now.
We'll just let you marinate on that. Just know that if you're interested, I'd be willing to.
Oh, okay, thanks. That's wonderful. I mean, for you to, you know, even say that, you know, that's wonderful. I mean, that you would do that. It's wonderful. Somebody that with such talent and gifts like that. I mean, that would be wonderful.
it's funny, you know, 2006 or whatever it was that I became a book reviewer for APU. I never thought, you know, when I became a book reviewer, first of all, it was kind of funny because I was the only non-African-American on an African-American book review team. But I never thought that I would honestly become a book reviewer to then, you know, be a radio show host, you know?
Yeah, right.
So,
who knows what
I might be when I turn 55. I'm sure it'll be leopard something, though.
Oh.
And just a thought, Leah.
Back to the lepers again.
So, you know, I don't know what your book's about. You know, but you might consider, like, you know, throwing some leopard on the book cover or something. I think that might be hot.
Yeah, well, it's a fiction suspense book, and it's kind of like a Sixth Sense type book.
Okay.
You know Stephen King, right? So it's kind of related to that type of writing.
Ooh,
well,
okay.
That's cool. I'm excited. I'm even more excited.
Hey, Leah?
Mm-hmm.
Leah?
Yeah.
Didn't you already promise me an autographed copy?
She's just getting put on the spot. She's like, why did I push that one? Why did I hit that button and let her bring me onto the show? I was cool.
Oh,
over
my gosh.
Okay,
yeah, these people are putting me
maybe
all
I shouldn't
on
even,
the spot.
Like, even press one.
She's like, I am never calling in to Flava Show again.
Yeah, I'm caught off guard. It's right.
but all joking aside, though, that piece that you sent me, you know, you let me hear the thing on YouTube and all that. That's fine and good, but I'm telling you, when I send this piece back to you, okay, you better be sitting down. Because you're standing up, you're going to fall down.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? it's sweet. And you know, I don't want to, you know, toot your own horn or anything like that, but Leah has one of those voices that you don't have to do a whole lot of it in post-production.
Yeah, that's cool.
She speaks very clearly and very completely. You know, and a lot of people, when they're speaking or singing, you have to go in and make fine-tune adjustments because they will, like, if they say the word, like, windbreaker, for instance, they may say wind louder than they say breaker.
Mm.
And you have to go in and kind of, like, balance the two of them out.
Okay.
But she's got a natural leveler in her voice.
Okay.
It's hard to come about, and you don't hear that very often. So it's very easy to work with her voice in the studio.
That's wonderful. So Leah and Stephen, you Leah on my shows, right?
Yeah, here we are.
Yeah, I'll once I get it done,
And
I thought I would ask for permission, right?
Well, yeah. Once I get it done, I'll send it back to you, Leah, and you can, you know, say yay, nay, fix this, I don't like this, or whatever. But once you give it the blessings, it's going straight to Lady Flavor.
Yeah, we're going to make you famous.
She has that ear, you know. And, you know, when you, it's no different than with, you know, doing spoken word or writing a book. I mean, you know, there's other people out there that, you know, when they look at it or when they hear it, you know what I mean? I mean, I don't know how I sound, you know what I'm saying, actually, you know.
Right.
I can't judge myself, you know.
Right.
Other people have to do that for me, so.
Right. No, I can definitely understand that, you know, when in a lot of the work that I've done over the years, just to say it quickly because we're going to run out of time, but, I did a lot of phone work as a domestic violence advocate working a crisis line when I was on crisis line duty or, you know, moving shipments across the United States. People used to say to me, "We love your voice. I love your voice." I'm like, "Really? Like, I don't really get that." So then when I started doing radio and I heard my voice for the first time, I was like, what do they like about this voice? Because
you have a great voice.
This is not smooth and pretty, you know?
Yes, it is. And that's why I say that we need to, well, hopefully one day we can do a collaboration.
Hey, okay. Okay.
I will be honored to write something that goes behind you guys. I really would, because, wait, I'm telling you, you could do the spoken word thing, really.
I could do the spoken word.
I mean, you've done it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You've done it.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. I have no idea where I even put my one little piece, Stephen, at. I don't know where it is, but maybe it's here. Let me look and see if I can find it. I don't know. I mean, you never know. I mean, I think it would be exciting and fun to try it. I just think that some people are meant to be cheerleaders, and you know, other people are meant to be artists. And I think that my strength is, you know, in being the cheerleader, you know, and stuff. So I'm like,
well,
you could do
that and just kind of branch out every once in a while.
Branch out.
And, you know, we're not saying that you have to do spoken word every time we listen to you. But,
right.
You know, just drop it on some heads every once in a while. And,
okay.
You know,
okay, so Leah, I'm going to do this for you right quick because it's very, very short. And the show's going to run out very, very quickly. So this is my piece called Flavor's Coffee.
Okay.
I have everything flavor right. So anyway, okay. So Flavor's Coffee. He said, "I would have liked to have drank your coffee, dark and rich with just the right amount of creamy crema to savor as melodic jazzy sounds are heard in the distance. Visions of what could have been, or is it what could be, as I, without a thought, grind the beans to a perfect texture. Swirling in the flavor of my own thoughts, I remember experiencing you, a flow of perfection, tone piercing my soul, words that spoiled my heart. And then I hear you say, I would have liked to have drank your coffee. Temperatures reaching the right degree, coming to a halt as I turn off the valve, pouring the beautiful liquids into a vessel perfect for your clutch. An aroma that I know so well and have come to love, my gift to you in this quiet moment of just us. I open my eyes and I lick my lips, devouring every drop. As I sip the warmth of my thoughts, I hear you say, I would have liked to have drank your coffee."
Wow. That is...
Nice piece, ain't it?
No, that, all I can say is wow.
Yeah.
That is deep.
That's what happens when you own a coffee shop and you make coffee.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
okay, yeah. Okay. We were talking about coffee, weren't we? Yeah, okay.
I love that. I love that. I mean, is that in your notes?
It's in my Word document.
Is it in your notes on your page?
No.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you should put it there because, you know, everybody posts their poems and their writings and their notes.
Oh, okay.
I think that should be read. I mean, it's just, yeah. And when you post it, it's going to be on your page anyway. Huh?
Well, and where it came from is that there's a spoken word artist here in Federal Way or something. His name is Arrestus. And he said to me on one of my shows, you know, when he found out I used to own a coffee shop called Flava, he said to me, I would have liked to have drank your coffee. And you know, and I thought, oh, let me write that down. And so that's
my gosh.
Came from.
And you know you're creative, right? We were telling the truth.
So anyway, that's my little attempt.
That is real smooth and real deep.
And it's about
it's
coffee.
So,
my favorite subject,
and
coffee.
I love coffee. So,
but you guys, I think Log Talk will probably cut us off because we're almost at the 3-hour mark. But I want to thank you guys so much for hanging out with me tonight, just in case they cut us off. And, you know, I think that I'm going to, you know, I kind of want to do this. I really enjoyed this. I think this is really something that is cool to be able to have conversations with creative souls, you know. So
yes.
I can't wait to experience you, Miss Leah.
Yeah, well, I'm here, you know, and can't wait to, you know, work with you too.
All right. I'm going to say good night to you guys just in case we get cut off. So thank you so very, very much.
All right. Good night.
All right.
No problem.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.